I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
Inside the 1 a.m. hour on the Fan in New York. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, back from vacation. This is day two, show two. Got to make sure I let you know it's KM to 2 a.m. on the Fan, you heard? All right. Juan Soto conversation. But first, Jose Siri conversation. You guys know who Jose Siri is. Both Mets fans and Yankee fans know who Jose Siri is. He's a pest. And he's also one of those guys that get hair implants. I retweeted that on my Twitter. If you follow me at Keith_McPherson, I'm losing followers, not because I care about that, but because I do notice people are like, I'm leaving Twitter. I'm out of here. This is toxic. I'm going to Blue Sky, whatever. So I'm like, whatever. Honestly, I could stand to lose a couple of Twitter followers, to be honest with you. I could lose 30,000 of them. I wouldn't trip. But yeah, I retweeted Jose Siri back in 2023, popped up for the Tampa Bay Rays. They did a whole segment on his implant locks and how he spent 12 hours to get someone else's hair attached to his hair. And me being someone with long, luxurious, natural locks, it's like a members-only club. Feel me? It's like, and bruh, you can't cut the line. You got to put in the time. You don't got no hang time for real. You just spent time having someone. Anyway, Jose Siri is a guy that can play center field. He can play left field, right field. Many people have been calling him a replacement for Harrison Bader. But I'll also say he's not someone that you sign thinking that you can't get Juan Soto at all. But there is an interesting dynamic between those two. Yankee fans remember, Jose Siri, he's not just a pest. He's got a lot of bozo energy. I think he's going to bring some attitude and some flair to the Mets. But he's a bozo as far as like pimping home runs and like taking his time running the bases. You guys remember that whole thing where he took way too long to round the bases and then Soto practically walked around the bases to show him up and then claimed he was, you know, saving his hammies. And yeah, so welcome to New York, Jose Siri. Yankee fans also remember him briefly with the hated Houston Astros, Tampa Bay Rays. Of course, this guy plays against all the teams, or plays against the Yankees for all the teams we don't like. He's an Astro. He's a Ray. Now he's going to be a Met. And for the Mets fans, my little conspiracy theory I cook up for you, right? Because shout out to Sal. And I say Sal is the best at this. Sal is the best at cooking up things to tweak Yankee fans. And he's also the best at, you know, getting on the mic and yelling in a one-minute clip that will just do numbers for us. I found somebody on TikTok that like stole one of WFAN's Instagram reels and put it on TikTok and it had better performing numbers. I was like, I flagged it to our digital team like, hey, get this. But like Sal is the best at that. And so a couple of Yankee fans were hitting me about it. I didn't hear it live, but they were, you know, hitting me about what Sal was saying about the Yankees potentially losing Juan Soto. All right, let's play that game. We lose Juan Soto. And Juan Soto signs for 15 years, $700 million with the Mets. And the Mets never return to a World Series, never win a World Series. Like, that's a reality. That's what could happen. And what I have said to a lot of Yankee fans is like, yo, let it play out. If Juan Soto wants to leave the year in pinstripes that he had, it'll just be a year in pinstripes. It won't matter. And then we have the rest of the future to see what happens with him in New York. he has to be ready to be a villain. There are Yankee fans that will literally hate him for that decision. And I also put out on my Twitter, as I was thinking about this and talking to different people in Yankees group chats and DMs and stuff, I'm like, Yankee fans. And I should have wrote Yankee fans, but instead I just wrote, if Juan Soto signs with the Mets, will you hate him and Scott Boras for that? Like, man, these money-hungry guys, Juan Soto's for the streets. He was just trying to get the biggest bag. Scott Boras, damn near, you know, 100 years old. He's just trying to get the money. No loyalty to the team he just played for. I'm like, or would you hate the Yankees? Would you hate Hal Steinbrenner, right? And say, this is not the Yankee way. Hal Steinbrenner, you're getting $15 million from the Rays this year to play in George M. Steinbrenner Field. Hal Steinbrenner, you just grew a new money tree this year just off of making it to the World Series, playing in the World Series, having World Series merch and tickets available and all that other stuff. I hate y'all for not signing Juan Soto. Or would you hate Steve Cohen and the Mets saying, like, man, this billionaire owner comes in and he can just buy Juan Soto and take Juan Soto? We traded away five guys to get Juan Soto. Juan Soto is forever in our history, ever in our minds. Him versus Hunter Gaddis hitting that home run to send us to the World Series. Like, the richest owner in the sport happens to be across town and just took him away for money. Because he can light $100 on fire every 2 minutes and it wouldn't change his day. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Moose in Jamaica first on the Fan right now. What up, Moose?
What up? Good morning. First things first, how was your vacation? How'd it go? Did you get the rest, relaxation?
Yeah, I really did. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I grind, especially through baseball season. I literally tell my mom, my wife, my family, like, yo, baseball is every day. I go to these games. Like, I'm on air after these games. Two seasons ago, I did a nationally televised TV show at MLB Network called Off Base.
Nice.
I was there, and then I was driving from Sea Caucus to the Bronx, and then driving from the Bronx, watching the game coming here. So, like, it's a grind, and I love it as a fan, but, like, it's my profession as well. And it takes me away from my family. Like, they never see me. And for me to get to spend that many consecutive hours with my wife and my son at an all-inclusive resort, it was the reset that I needed. And then the perspective of bozos on Reddit and Twitter writing about me, I'm like, I really needed that motivation as well. So, yeah, it was good.
That's what's up. Yeah. So, second of all, congratulations to Luis Gil, winning Rookie of the Year.
Hey.
And Luis Gil, if you're listening,
they optioned him. They optioned him in spring training. And then I think he came out and pitched against the Phillies. And then we heard about, you know, Gerrit Cole having some issues. What a year for Luis Gil bouncing back. He does deserve more of a round of applause and respect for the year that he put together. He's also somebody with the implant locks, you know.
Yeah, so vamos, papi. Proximo años para Sayang, if you're listening.
Si.
I know a little Spanish. My barber's Dominican. Anyway, so getting back to the Juan Soto of it all, right? Hello?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to get to it. Yep, go for it.
So, yeah. So, all things being considered, the Yankees made close to $700 to $800 million of profit or
more
revenue this year.
Probably
1.1 to 1.5 billion with everything, right? You never know. So, we'll make a competitive offer. We'll have the money to sign them. That being said, if we sign them, we still have a hole at either second or third and first. And that's also trying to bring in three brand name bullpen names pieces, as well as possibly a number two or three starter, so we have a better chance against whatever in the World Series ALCS. So, and that is going to go against what Hal Steinbrenner wants to do by staying under 304, and even more so, he's going to have to spend close to $90 to $120 million to do that if we keep Juan Soto. So it's kind of like pick your poison. The Yankees are in a pickle.
There's no poison. There's no pickle.
All right. So you either do it and then just go all in and spend the bread, even though that's against what their plans are. I don't know.
I just think the days of Hal Steinbrenner, like, and people love to bring up the quote from the Sportico conference where he talked about, like, not needing to have a $300 million payroll, blah, 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 blah. But, like, people forget he was in a room full of other owners, and a lot of these owners are billionaires that don't spend bread. And then the way that the luxury tax is set up, the teams that do spend the money, that like they end up getting that money. And that was the whole point. Randy Levine was in there too, talking about like, why should we be helping the Tampa Bay Rays? What I'll say about Hal Steinbrenner now is Hal was just in the World Series with a team that we knew had plenty of holes, with a team that had a rookie of the year in Luis Gil and a third place, I believe, in Austin Wells playing. Like, we had young guys playing in that World Series team. Volpe is a young guy. Oswaldo Cabrera is a young guy. I know I'm forgetting somebody else that's young, but what I'm saying is, like, Hal Steinbrenner being this close to a World Series, and especially the way that they collapsed, where that World Series was closer than people want to remember it, he has to push all his chips in. You don't get that close and then start playing it safe. You know what I'm saying? And then when you talk about the holes.
Let me ask you, Keith, real quick. For first base, if we don't sign Christian Walker, would you think it'd be reasonable if Texas were to do this? We give up Arias and Beter for Nathaniel Lowe? Because that's a solid Major League Baseball, left-handed bat, decent baseball.
I think it's a fool's errand to really start to even think of trades and moves beyond Juan Soto. We have enough time, right? Juan Soto is going to get done in the next 2 weeks, and then we have enough time to figure out. I think Christian Walker is going to be a Yankee regardless, just what everybody's talking about, and it makes too much sense, and they can afford him. It's not like he's going to break the bank.
Ten teams want him,
but what does he want? Does he want to go to another small market team? He already went to a World Series with the Diamondbacks. Like I think all of these baseball players dream of being a Yankee and playing with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Stanton. And first base was a hole. There wasn't enough power from first base. And in that fifth inning that everyone's going to talk about forever and ever, if you had a first baseman that could field the ball and even just run to the base, like, I don't know. I think they're going to address that. I think they're going to look for some pop at first base. I don't think they're going to go young there. I think they might go young with the buzz around Caleb Durbin, who we've been hearing about Caleb Durbin. He's on the 40-man roster now. That news came out today. He impressed in the Arizona Fall League. I remember when Gleyber Torres impressed in the Arizona Fall League. Next thing you know, the buzz starts, and he gets an opportunity the following year. So maybe they go young there. You can't forget about Peraza. You can't forget that Jazz Chisholm is playing third base for the first time. He could also play second base. Like, they have some options, some flexibility, some things that'll happen. But the first thing that has to happen is they have to know whether they're going to retain Juan Soto or not. Thanks for the call, Moose. 888-808-1019. It might not be a fool's errand, because you might like to do that as a fan. You know, like people are trying to come up with who the next GM candidate is. Like, I don't do that. I don't have time to do that. I got to change diapers. I got to take my son to the park. I got to make sure my wife is straight, my mom is straight. I got to put together show notes. I got to pay bills. Like, I'm not lining up a list of who the potential GMs for the Jets can be, because there'll be none of them. I'm also not lining up the trade machine of who the Yankees could trade for what? I'll be on the next night and the next night and the next night after, and they can write a Reddit thread and come up with a conspiracy theory on Twitter, and it won't matter. What I'm saying is, like, take it step by step. I try to tell y'all that during the baseball season. We can't fast forward. Imagine we fast forward to know that we were going to collapse in the fifth inning of game five when we were up 5-0. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to fast forward. So just, like, you know, try and just stay where we are. Where we are right now is Juan Soto is meeting these teams. Juan Soto was last a Yankee. Juan Soto is very familiar with the Yankees. His family is very familiar with the Yankees. Scott Boras is very familiar with the Yankees. The Yankees are in this to win this. They're not looking at Juan Soto like they looked at Yamamoto. We'd like to have you, but you haven't pitched in Major League Baseball, so we have a bar. We have a line. We're not going any further to make sure that your services come our way. With Juan Soto, it's different. He's a generational talent, literally. That's why I said I think it's crazy to hear Yankee fans start talking him down. Oh, he's a two-tool player. What? What? After the season you just watched? Somebody put together the highlight reel. How come I haven't seen Talking Yanks or Fireside Yanks? One of y'all put together the Juan Soto Yankee highlight reel from this year to remind people what they got. 888-808-1019. You won't hear that from me, but you will hear the like realistic part from me that, like, yeah, I do know Steve Cohen has a lot of money. I do know that New York is New York. National League and American League. I think Juan Soto wants to stay in New York. If Steve Cohen puts up more money than the Yankees are willing to do, which I don't think that's going to be the case when the reports are saying that Hal Steinbrenner is ready to be competitive. I think Hal Steinbrenner knows that he can't lose this player to the Mets for the next 14, 15 years, whatever it may be. But I also know that Steve Cohen is potentially ready to do something ridiculous that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman might be like, wait, $705 million doesn't, the math ain't mathing. It's just not. Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're on the Fan. Go for it.
Hey, Keith. A couple of things that happened in the last 24 hours I think are significant. And also, I have a plan B if Soto doesn't re-sign with the Yankees. First of what happened in the last 24 hours. As you mentioned, there wasn't just reports about Hal Steinbrenner being 100% committed. It was by Bob Kaplish, one of the most veteran and insiders in business. So if Kaplish is reporting that, I say it's odds are that's fairly true. That's number one.
Right, it's not coming from Heyman.
Right.
Out of nowhere, here's Bob Kaplish, who shout out to Bob. I've been in the media area with Bob and rendezvoused with him. He's an OG in the game. He's not putting his name next to some nonsense.
Right. Number two, the Yankees only have 37-man people protected on the 40-man roster.
Right.
If you know Yankee history, they always do 40 or at bare minimum 39 mm-hmm. to leave a spot open. The fact that there's only 37 people on the 40-man protected roster is a
to bringing some free agents, right?
Free agents.
Yeah.
That tells me
Juan Soto,
that how,
Christian Walker.
Well, I'm hoping for Tanner Scott or a starting pitcher myself.
Fingers crossed. I'll never get off them not trading for Tanner Scott, but whatever. I'll come off of it if you just sign him.
But it tells me that this is not just word of mouth saying, oh, he's just saying it. No, the Yankees are actually backing up their play, leaving open roster spots. To me, that's huge. Now, let's just say the Yankees resign Soto, which is a possibility. You know, I think I would like to resign Soto. And I think, how does it? Because let's face it, there were 40,000 people every night at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And that's because of Juan Soto. And Hal realizes that. So Hal may say, hey, if I have to spend money, you know, as his father used to say, you spend money to make money. And Soto is a proven fact. But let's say Soto, for whatever reason, doesn't re-sign with the Yankees. Here is what I would do. The number one free agent I would have to sign is Santana from Orioles. This is a guy who's a switch hitter. You could put him in left. Because according to what I read, he can play any outfield position. He hit 40 home runs in Baltimore, especially with that high fence and left field being so deep.
Mm-hmm.
You put him in left, you put DeMarcia in center, and you put Judge in right. And as much as I would like Soto coming back, that makes this a better team. With Judge being in right. Then you sign a third baseman. You sign Adams, or you sign the third baseman Houston to put him in third base. You put Jazz at second, or if you want to, because as much fun as Jazz is, you know, can be traded if you need something else, and put Durbin at second base.
Yeah.
And for people who say, oh, you can't depend on a minor leaguer, he would have been up this past year, but he broke his wrist and was out for 3 months. This is a guy in about 25 games in Arizona
League.
He
steals bases.
He stole 25 bases and hit over 300.
Yeah.
So
run it. Like, send him. I've heard of his name for a couple years now. Shout out to Mark from the Creatures who leads the roll call. I remember Mark talking about him last year, and then I saw Mark at spring training this year going into the year, and we were talking about Caleb Durbin. So, I mean, the writing has been on the wall for this guy to potentially come up, and his name has passed Peraza and has passed Yorbit Vivas and has, you know what I'm saying? So, like, whatever. We're about to find out.
Yeah, and I would sign a starting pitcher. I would go after Snell if they think he's too expensive. There are other starting pitchers to sign. And again, Tanner Scott. you know, if you're not going to sign Soto, you're going to have extra money to play with. And Scott, I think, even though Weaver did a great job as a closer, you need to build up that bullpen. And as for a first baseman, the only thing I'm hesitant about, the guy from Arizona, he's 34 years old. That's again, and I know he had a great year.
He's a three-year contract, win now mode.
Yeah, but 3 years at 34, are we going into the Anthony Rizzo scheme again where something can happen and he slides down? Now,
no, I don't know. He's built different and maybe. And I don't know. I think he's at 34 years old. He just doesn't strike me the same. I mean, there were talks about Freddie Freeman's age. Freddie Freeman has aged fine for the Dodgers.
What's his name? Ricky Ricardo was on over the weekend, and he says in Florida, in Miami, there are rumblings about the Yankees praying for Yandy Diaz.
Yeah, I saw some of that online, too. I saw people joking about that, but, I mean, yeah, whatever. Yandy Diaz, there's options. There's definitely options, and I don't think it's going to be Ben Rice at first base.
But for people to say, oh, is lost. You have stand there in left field. And listen, he has 40
home
runs.
Lost, and that's another good point. Thank you for the call, Bruce. I also don't think there's any shot in hell that Brian Cashman is going to sign off on a contract for Alex Bregman. And I also don't think Alex Bregman wants to come over here. He's going to stay in Houston with the Astros, and I don't want him either. Same way y'all were glazing Correa a couple years back. I'm like, there's no way, bro. There's no way. With the Yankees, man, yeah, I think you need another starting pitcher. Rodon can't be your number two. Can't rely on that dude. Obviously, you need help in the bullpen, but I don't know if they attack the bullpen in free agency. That they're able to mix and match. They're about to sign Tim Hill back. Like, you know what I'm saying? You've seen Cashman do this all the time. Like, Tim Mesa. Here comes Jake Cousins. Here comes Luke Weaver as your closer now for the cheap. Like, I just don't think that maybe they go after Tanner Scott because they missed out on him in the trade deadline. He's available. But I don't think that they look to, you know, shore up the bullpen there. I think that they'll have some young guys. They'll have some journeymen. They'll mix and match during the season. They'll look at spring training, whatever. Infield is going to be interesting to see what they do with Jazz. Maybe they like Jazz at third. Caleb Durbin makes sense. Have a competition. Let Caleb come in and compete the way Volpe was able to compete. As far as, you know, Santander, I think he's cold-blooded. I like him as a player. But does he want to continue with that Orioles team? Does he have that much Baltimore in his blood where he might want to stay there because they can afford him their new ownership? And not for nothing, like, playing for the Orioles is not playing for the Yankees. I kind of have a fear with him that, like, he does not put together the season that he put together for the Orioles with the Yankees. Like, maybe that was his best. Like, you know how it goes. The pinstripes are heavy. That goes back to Juan Soto. The pinstripes are not heavy for Juan Soto. You got to watch that. Go look at the numbers of the ticket sales just in the areas around right field. There was an uptick, clearly. Let's go to Justin in Floral Park on the Fan before we go to break. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, Keith? How are you, buddy?
Good,
hope you had
good.
A good vacation, man.
I did. Thank you.
Well deserved. Listen, I'm with you 100%. They got to get Soto now. The more I'm thinking about it, I'm just worried about two teams, Keith, besides the Mets. The Red Sox and the Nationals.
Okay.
Two reasons. Red Sox need that guy after they let Mookie Betts go, and the Nationals have new ownership and a team that wants to spend money, and they, you know, he's familiar with playing with the Nationals. I could see him doing like a LeBron James and going back home to the Nationals for some reason. That's the two teams I'm worried about the most, besides the Mets.
Okay, I'll counter with thanks for the call, Justin. 888-808-1019. We're about to go to break. I'll counter quickly. Gary in Naugatuck, you'll be my first call when we come back. The Nationals, it's done. He went back to the Nationals when the Yankees faced them, and the Yankees lost. He got his hugs and his whatever. He didn't play well in that series. And I remember vividly being in L.A. when he won the home run derby and he had to get his own flight, which, of course, he could afford. But the pettiness that the Nationals showed him, not even flying him out
when he goes to the Home Run Derby wearing a Nationals hat and jersey, not even flying him out because he turned down their $440 million offer. Now he's potentially going to get $200 million more. He ain't going back to the Nationals. And the Red Sox are a cute little idea because of the Dominican ties. Yeah, you know, Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz and Pedro, whatever. And, you know, a lot of Dominicans are fans of the Red Sox. And you mentioned Mookie Betts. Okay, they didn't want to pay Mookie. I don't think they're going to want to pay him. I don't think that he wants to live in Boston either. And I think he wants to win now. The Boston Red Sox find themselves being bums too often as of late. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I will be.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's run through this last 20 minutes, 18 minutes or so. Keep McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. Thanks for listening. If you want to go back to when I got started around 11 o'clock, we talked about Joe Douglas getting fired, Woody Johnson trying to be the one to come in and bench Aaron Rodgers, Woody Johnson meddling in everything and not being a football mind, not being a former football player or coach, but being the owner of the Jets, and me saying that, listen, all of this is the curse of Woody Johnson. I know a couple nights ago I had a caller call in and say this is the curse of Joe Namath and, you know, him making a deal with the devil and the guarantee. No. We're so far from that. This is all stemming from Woody Johnson. Many times on the Fan, you might have heard me say, you know, restaurants mimic the manager. If you go to a bad restaurant, I guarantee you the guy running the restaurant, start with him. He's the one not really doing his job, popping in and out, not really being there, going through the day-to-day operations. It's the same thing in sports. Teams mimic the management. And if the management is rotten from the highest level, ownership, GM, coach, it's going to trickle all the way through the organization. 888-808-1019. We talked a little bit about Daniel Jones as well. And I actually think that the owner of the Giants is a good owner and means well and is trying to be patient with this GM and this coach. It isn't working. It worked initially, but it has been bad. And I really do think that they're not that far away, the Giants, the New York football Giants. I think there are games this year that might have gone differently if they had a quarterback that could extend plays, make plays. Now, I'm not talking about running a guy over. I'm not talking about picking up a first down with your leg. I'm talking about like making the big play, throwing the ball into the end zone, scoring touchdowns. This is the NFL. You got the Lions putting 50 on teams. Like, you have to score points. And when you have issues in the kicking game, when you have issues with, you know what I'm saying? I think that the Giants going to Tommy DeVito, you're not going to see much of an uptick. But maybe you do see these guys rally around him. I was saying that, and then reports came out that Dexter Lawrence said he's, you know, Daniel Jones, he's QB1. He's the best quarterback in the room. Duh. You know, other players saying, we're not idiots. Like, we know who the best quarterback is here. Yeah, because they're NFL players. They've been around a lot of quarterbacks from high school to college to the NFL. They know Tommy DeVito is not coming in to win them games, but I don't know. Maybe he provides a spark. I just doubt it. I think that trick was last year. I think that the players are pissed off, right? I didn't read this yet, but shout out to Dan Duggan, who put this out on Twitter, talking about the owner and talking about the decision. And you know, the Giants players are upset that this is a financial decision, that they're benching Daniel Jones for finances to save money, potentially, and not try to win. I mean, it is what it is. They're players. They're going out there to compete. They have a lot of pride for the you know, the name on the back of the jersey and the team that drafted them or signed them, whatever. But there's a post from Dan Duggan talking about ownership. And he thought that ownership, this basically says, still, ownership didn't prevent the new regime from declining Daniel Jones's $22.4 million fifth-year option for the 2023 season within months of being hired. So remember I was saying yesterday they should have just picked up Daniel Jones's option instead of paying him $40 million in 2023. If you would have just picked up the $22.4 million option from his rookie deal, you would have been able to walk away from him once he got hurt last year. But you know what? You never believed in him. You knew he was injury prone. You watched the film of him. You even set him up to fail. You brought Tyrod Taylor in. You told the defense the plays when Daniel Jones was out there. You didn't tell them when Tyrod was out there. So Tyrod would see or would succeed and you would see how Daniel Jones handled it. How did he handle it? Daniel Jones handled everything with class. Daniel Jones came to work. Daniel Jones is even handling this with class, but they are not going to, they are making sure that he doesn't touch the field. Tim Boyle is signed. So it is now Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, Tim Boyle, and I don't know, they're making sure Daniel Jones doesn't even have a hangnail in practice. 888-808-1019. The quote goes on to say, fast forwarding to this offseason, it was abundantly clear Mara wanted to retain running back Saquon Barkley, but even coming off a 6-11 season, Joe Shane stood his ground and let Barkley walk in free agency to the Philadelphia Eagles, which was Mara's nightmare scenario. So to buy the theory that ownership forced Shane and Dable to extend Jones, one has to believe they went against ownership's wishes immediately after they were hired and again coming off a losing season, but not when their equity was at its highest after a playoff win. It doesn't add up. And that's why I'm saying I think Mara's a better owner than Woody. He's not meddling. He is literally trying to see this through with the GM and head coach that he picked. Dable's a good coach. He might not get everything right. He might not have the best media availability or talking to the reporters or bedside manner or yelling at guys, whatever. Shane, I think Shane is a professional. I think offseason hard knocks gave you a really good look at him. I think it was all about him. I think it was all about his operation and what he's doing. And I think that there's a silver lining coming. I think that John Mara is trying to see the forest through the trees and give it time. Let this thing marinate and bake. And maybe you do get Cam Ward. Maybe you do get Shedeur Sanders. And maybe just plugging him in and hitting on draft picks again like you did this year with Drew Phillips, who is being rated one of the highest cornerbacks in the league, Theo Johnson, who has contributed, Tyrone Tracy, who is now your running back of the future, Tyler Newbin, who's a baller. Everybody knew that watching him coming out of the Big Ten, and Malik Nabers, who's a surefire lock to be a dominant receiver in this league. When you can find a quarterback that can read defenses and have the timing to get him the ball, maybe if Dable is able to get a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders, maybe if they are going to lose out the rest of the way with Tommy DeVito, that can happen. 888-808-1019. They're so much closer to being there than the Jets, who literally have to start over from the top to the bottom. And I don't think Woody Johnson's going anywhere anytime soon, so he's going to be the one doing the picking. And then, of course, last but not least, we started talking about Juan Soto, and we'll go back to the Juan Soto calls. And I put out a theory out there for the, you know, Mets fans, just to tweak the Mets fans, because Salicott is tweaking the Yankee fans. And I said, so what? What if your richest owner in the sport does sign him for 15 years, $700 million, and then you don't win anything? And your drought in the World Series, winning the World Series, hits 40 years and 50 years and 55. Or your appearance drought hits 10 this year, and then that turns into 15 in 2025. But you stole Juan Soto from 1 year of the Yankee. Over time, Yankee fans won't care if the Yankees go back to the World Series. If the Yankees win the World Series, Yankee fans won't care that they had a one-year rental Juan Soto and he became a Met. So what I'm saying is everybody chill and relax. We did all of this over Yamamoto. Oh, now we're doing it again. We got 2 weeks here. Because news did come out that Juan Soto can happen before the winter meetings. With all of this meeting that he's been doing with the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Dodgers yesterday and the Yankees again and the Mets, of course. What do you got to do? You got to go home, have Thanksgiving, and then that first week of December, let's get down to business. You're the biggest fish that has to get fried. You're the first domino that has to fall for everybody else to get their deals. Don't make it December 9th. Make it December 4th, which is exactly 2 weeks from right now. So maybe we have two more weeks of this Juan Soto talk. And I'm telling you, brace yourselves for whatever it may be. Yankee fans, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt the Met fan, because the Met fan never got to watch him in their jersey. Never got to watch him in their stadium. Didn't watch him send their team to the World Series at one swing. And Mets fans, it might disappoint you too, because the narrative that the Mets brand isn't there, if you lose this player out to the Yankees and the Yankees just come close or match the offer, whatever it is, and he decides to stay with Aaron Judge and the Yankees and continue his legacy in pinstripes, it's going to hurt you a little bit, because your ego will take a slight punch. That the Mets brand is not built, just like that hotel is not built, that casino is not built. The future is bright for the Mets. But also what I'm saying with Juan Soto, like, the Mets aren't sneaking up on anybody next year. You think they're not going to have hell to pay with the Phillies in their own division, the Braves in their own division? Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are in the National League. You need Juan Soto, but Juan Soto may decide, hey, I want revenge against the Dodgers who are still talking trash. I like batting in front of Aaron Judge. Hal Steinbrenner has enough money to match any offer that Steve Cohen can put out there, and it has already been documented by Bob Clappish that Hal Steinbrenner said, yeah, I'm ready to compete. I'm not going to let my fan base take two L's, lose the World Series to the Dodgers, have the Dodgers mocking us for weeks, and then lose Juan Soto to the Mets. And have Mets fans potentially mocking the Yankees forever, because there also is a reality that Juan Soto is the piece that they put on the Mets, where the Mets are able to defeat the Dodgers in the NLCS and go back to the World Series. Could you imagine that? The city flipping from a Yankees appearance in the World Series to the Mets the next year? Who knows? Nobody knows. Let's see what Gary in Naugatuck knows. What's up, Gary? You got it. Thanks for holding.
What's up, Keith?
You know,
my man,
sports talk.
My man, Pots and Pans.
Hey, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Good job. Dude, I was looking at the
You're looking at the what?
Verlander, Scherzer, Corbin, Martin, Evaldi, and Max Fried. I like Max Fried.
Okay.
What do you think for the
Yankees? You're looking at the free agent pitchers coming up here.
Yep.
Max Fried, it just depends how much. He's hurt a lot, though. I don't know. Like, especially with having Garrett Cole, who had an injury scare, but is still, like, Mr. Reliable and showed up there. Like, I want guys I can rely on. I can't rely on injury-prone guys. I can't rely on guys that don't have the head for it, like Rodon. Like, I want somebody that I can rely on. Corbin Burnes, maybe, but I don't think the Yankees are really going to be in on Corbin Burnes. What he's going to cost? What he's going to be? The Yankees need another starter, though. Maybe Blake Snell.
What do you think of getting Severino back?
Hell no. Nope. Not even for free.
Not even.
I mean, I'm glad he did well. I was rooting for him to do well with the Mets, but that ship has sailed.
All right. Well, I've always voted for Verlander. He's
cooked as well.
A solid dude.
He's cooked as well. He didn't pitch enough innings to trigger the money that the Mets owed him this year with the Houston Astros. He's donezo. He's done.
Oh. Okay. Hey, yo. How's Jackson doing?
He's great, man. He's great. I'm going to talk about him for a minute. Thanks for the call, Gary. I heard, man, and C-Mac's coming in. Maybe C-Mac will talk about this because C-Mac has two young sons. But I heard Positive Tommy. Loogie! I heard Tommy Lugauer today. Try and make an analogy about Juan Soto leaving the Yankees for the Mets or the Dodgers or whoever. And the way that he made the analogy was to say, you know, what if somebody comes in and offers you a lifestyle where you can go live it up in L.A. and leave your kids and not do what you're doing? And I'm like, Tommy's spoken like a guy that does not have a child. Like, you just actually talked about, and then it missed. And the guys did not, obviously, between Tiki and Evan and Sean Morash, who have all of them have multiple kids. There is no opportunity to leave your kids. There's no greener pasture. There is no change of scenery leaving your child. Like, I am living so much for my son right now. Like I live my son's life. Like, I wake up in the morning. I left here last night at 2 o'clock. I go home. I don't go to sleep till 3:15. My wife was up with my son in the middle of the night. He's now getting to the age where, like, he's attached to us. He clings on to us. And just to fall asleep, he's got to hold mommy or daddy's hand. And so he woke up in the middle of the night last night, which he's been adjusting from, obviously, the Mexico air and us being on vacation for a week to getting back home and in his crib. And my wife was up with him from 1 to 1:30, and I told her I'll be home by 2:30. I can take over, whatever. So she's passed out this morning. He starts screaming at like 6:45. Dad is up. I didn't go to bed till 3:15. It was like I slept for an hour, and I'm up to give him his milk, to comfort him. Hey, you're good. You're good. Hey, good morning. How are you, son? I'm living so much for my son right now. I've been taking care of him every day. Mexico, like I said, consecutive hours. I'm waking up. My son is my alarm clock. I'm putting him to bed. I'm going to sleep. And in between, I'm putting him in the pool. I'm feeding him. I'm teaching him things. He can count to 10 already. Like, he knows the Yankees. It was his Aunt Mel's birthday. He knows, happy birthday to Boo. Like, I'm living my life every day through my son's eyes. Like, I'm working this job so that I can take care of my son. My quest to be great at what I'm doing is so that I can build an empire that my son will inherit. I didn't get to go on vacation with my dad. I didn't get to walk on the beach in Mexico with my father in the morning. I didn't get to go anywhere, right? My parents were separated when I was 3. And shout out to my dad for coming into my life later into my life and doing what he could. But like, what I missed out on with my pops, I'm not missing out on with my son. I'm living every day for Jackson McPherson. for Tommy to talk about, yeah, what if somebody offered you and I? No, there is no offer to leave your kid. Dwight's in Asbury Park. Last call of the night goes to Dwight.
Oh, yeah. Yo, what up, kid?
Yo, hey,
listen, about your boy Sauce getting smoked. he needs to put some meat on his bones, man.
He's got to bulk up because he, you know, you're tackling and Trey McBride. You ain't tackling Trey McBride at 175, 180.
Yeah, I'm like, they should have told him to hit the weights when he was in high school.
I think they did. He was a lot smaller. He did have a growth spurt. I think he did.
On YouTube. He was a 165 when he was a high school senior. He was small.
And I mean, like, he wasn't supposed to make it, but he kind of proclaimed. There's a video of a young Sauce, like, you know, I'm going to make it. And I think he's still going to be a good corner. I think he could bulk up in the offseason, put a little bit more muscle on. But he's just got to tackle, man. Put a hat in your shoulder on him and wrap. And like, this is the NFL. He says he knows how to tackle. They don't need tackling drills. Well, get it done.
Yeah, man, because my boy, Alec Pierce, he straight left him in the dust on those deep balls.
Of course, Cincinnati connection. They literally flashed to the picture of Alec Pierce and Sauce Gardner, and Alec Pierce talking about how he had to go up against Sauce Gardner every day, and you just knew that was fortuitous. You knew that was foreshadowing what was going to happen later in the game. Alec Pierce down the sideline.
Yep, because that guy Jalen Mills saved his bacon on that deep ball. Because if he hadn't been there, that was touchdown.
Yeah, Sauce. I don't know. I think Sauce has succumbed to the pressure of New York being a Jet, the social media stuff. Right? People telling him get off social media. Nah, you're a young guy. Be on social media. Thanks for the call, Dwight. That's another thing too. I hear all this conversation about what these young guys are supposed to do and not do. Rookies supposed to keep their head down. No, not in this age when these rookies have 20 million followers and they're rich and you're unretiring jerseys for them. Like, these guys come in, even a Malachi Corley, you're not humble about dropping the ball at the one-inch line. He's talking about, I've scored 200 touchdowns in my career. You've scored zero. You scored zero NFL touchdowns, Brody. We're not counting your Pop Warner High School and college touchdowns. But in this current era of these guys having social media followers, NIL, millions of dollars, you can't tell these guys nothing. There is no, like, come in and respect your head coach. Come in and respect your veteran teammates. They're made men in their minds. And I'm fine with that. But you just got to back it up on the field. That's all I've got. My name is Keith McPherson, K-E-I-T-H-M-C-P-H-E-R-S-O-N. I do nights here at The Fan. I'll be back tomorrow night and the night after and the night after that. And then the next month and next year and continue. Appreciate you guys listening to my show, calling my show. Chris McMonagle is coming up next to talk about Daniel Jones and the Giants teammates' reaction, and definitely talking about Woody Johnson and Joe Douglas. I'm out of here. Catch you tomorrow. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.